This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons. This is the Lasertime Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, as always, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
Brett Elston.
That's right, Brett is back. Hi. And we're going to be talking about Season 3 today. That's right, we made it to Season 3, everybody. I'm so happy.
Season 3, baby.
Yes, so what do we need to say about Season 3?
The best gets better.
It was hard to capture when every line is funny, and yeah. Jesus Christ, have they found their legs.
I think from Season 4 onwards, it's going to be a 90-minute podcast,
yeah,
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But
it's going to get longer and longer. But yeah, we just finished Season 2. That was Blood Feud, which actually just aired like a month before this episode did. We did a Season 2 wrap-up.
We did a Season 2 wrap-up on patreon.com/lasertime. In case you didn't know, the show was made possible by donations from generous listeners on patreon.com/lasertime. The first season of Talking Simpsons lives there. 13 episodes are there for you, and as is the season recap. And you can find links to all the previous episodes when you head to patreon.com/lasertime. And pledge as low as $5. You can get this show and 13 others.
Yep. And as far as Season 3 goes, the major changes are Sam Simon left. He notoriously did not like Matt Groening, and he was just kind of there as the guy who knew how to run a TV show.
The nicest thing he said was, like, working on a show makes me a jerk, and I don't like doing that. And so, that's the most conciliatory thing.
He had no idea, like...
Dead now, by the way.
He is dead.
Yeah, he recently, like, last year? I think
last
it was about
year.
A year
stomach
ago.
Stomach cancer finally
took great. He did, like, a fuck you tour of interviews, like, just saying, like, I'll say whatever I want. I don't care.
And they didn't even care much. He was not nostalgic at all for his time on The Simpsons.
Well, it has to seem short-lived for him. He spent longer on Taxi, but I don't think he knew that this was going to make him a millionaire forever.
Yeah, and he gave all of his money to dogs, I think. So.
Well, LA Food Banks.
He talked about how on Whale Wars, their ship is his ship. Like, he paid for...
There are like four ships, and one of them is the Sam Simon.
It's so funny that he takes Rupert Murdoch's money to buy ships to stop whaling
and
all this environmental stuff.
So, RIP Sam Simon. He was
a great congratulations, guy. Rupert Murdoch.
Yes, keep on.
And we are beginning Season 3. Again, the Season 2 recap is really fun. Like, it's going to show you everything that happened from The Simpsons launch, and that was like the peak of the phenomenon. A bunch of really fun clips and factoids. Yes. Check it out, patreon.com.
Small spoiler, you're going to love the Nazis on Tap section, which was recorded to make fun of Matt Groening and never aired. So, just a few other things. Al Jean and Mike Reese ran this season and Season 4. They were writers on Seasons 1 and 2, and they also wrote for Alf and Johnny Carson.
And they, like, took a few months off in Season 2. On the commentary, Al Jean is the constant of commentaries.
Yes.
Even when Matt Groening left, like, Al Jean just came back. He wasn't on the seasons he didn't write, he didn't executive produce, but he's on every single other
season. And he's been dictator for life on The Simpsons since 2001 until the show ends. He's not going to leave, I don't think.
No,
anyway.
He's got quite a nasal voice on the commentaries. I'm one to talk. And every once in a while, I follow him on Twitter, and one thing I know from following on Twitter is that he got angry at Bob making fun of him on something awful.
I heard his feelings with an article making fun of The Simpsons, but come on, you think he'd be used to that by now.
But also,
I would hope.
It feels like once a year he goes to one of the Universal Studios and goes to the Springfield. And I would just imagine, like, meeting Al Jean in Springfield of all places in the Springfield.
He probably has a prototype of whatever you're standing in his backyard.
And then the other one is Mike Reese, who the two of them were writing partners for so long, but then they uncoupled after The Critic, right? That's when they kind of stopped working.
I think so. They did a few episodes for The Simpsons with The Critic team in the mid-90s, but I think that was it for Mike Reese, and he kind of just, like, went around the country in an RV writing children's books. Like, he's living a dream life, basically.
Well, he did Queer Duck. He did that series,
Duck,
on Showtime.
Duck!
Icebox.
That is almost as lost as Sammy.
But those two...
We talk about that in a Laser Time episode. What is it, Primetime Animation?
The second one,
yeah.
Please help us find Sammy. Yeah.
But those two guys talked about on their things that most Season 3 episodes are defined by them being very tired when working on them, and that they were short, and that they would always have to do an extended opening a lot of the times to cover the shortness.
Yeah, and not to drone on too long about the change-ups, but Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, who had run season 6 and 7, said, your first season you run, you work the hardest. Mm-hmm. The second season you run, you don't work that hard, which is why the second season usually isn't as good.
But they're talking about the two-season type showrunner, which is for 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8. From 9, then it was 9 to 12.
Yeah, so. And then 13 to infinity. So, should we talk about today's episode?
Yeah, back into the old formula.
Yes.
Here we go.
Today's episode is Stark Raving Dad, which aired on September 19th, 1991. Chris, what happened on this epic day in history?
Oh, my God!
Oh, boy, Bobby!
Looks like Guns N' Roses releases not one, but two albums asking listeners to use their illusion. Child's Play completes its first trilogy, and Bill Cosby is unseated as Forbes' number one richest entertainer by the New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, just like Ernest, Chucky went to the army in that one.
Boy, wow, cause.
That's pretty bullshit, though, that five teenagers unseat one man as the number one paid
entertainer. Yeah, that's not very fair.
No, I don't think so.
Someone with a sister who's 7 years older, I can't stress how much New Kids on the Block I was hearing at this exact point in time.
I will not play cool. I was into this and had this tape and rocked it quite a bit.
I couldn't because my sister's into it.
I preferred Weird Al's White Stuff parody of it about Oreos. That was much better.
It's back when you didn't have to try very hard, right?
Yeah.
It's like, lasagna, sure.
I like food.
Yeah. Speaking of Cosby, they are still on the Thursday night time slot up against Cosby, which they didn't do so well for them in the season 2. They do a little better.
By Fox to hurt Bill Cosby in CBS, NBC.
But now hurting Bill Cosby seems like a good move.
It does, but it hurt the show in the process.
Yeah. For sure, yeah. They were never as popular as they were in the first season. Mm-hmm. Like,
but
they would have stayed there.
It was such a good lead-in for Babes and Drexel's Class, though.
Oh, Drexel's Class. How we missed the...
I watched so much... Oh, and this is just a little clip I got for the beginning of this episode, Stark Raving Dad. Yes, you're welcome.
So, that's my new ringtone.
All right. So the ads on this made it very clear Michael Jackson was in this episode.
Yeah.
But they couldn't say it.
Contractually, they couldn't.
Contractually, they could not.
And they couldn't say he did. He wrote Do the Bartman either because of his contract.
Should we just talk about Kesha's
movie contract, and you see how fierce these things are. Mm-hmm, that you can't get out of working with a rapist. Neither Michael Jackson could not appear and sing on things that were dictated in his Sony contract.
Exactly. Even the most popular and powerful man in the world was beholden to a contract.
Yep.
And, I mean, do we need to talk about who Michael Jackson is, how there will never be anyone more famous than him?
Yeah.
Well, he's also worth using the death jingle over, I'd say.
Yeah, we do have a Talking Simpsons death jingle that we rarely get to play. I really thought we'd play it more. This will probably be the season.
Death stalks you every turn. There it is, death.
It's very respectful. So I think a few years after this, Michael Jackson would be embroiled in the first of, I think, two molestation scandals.
It was 94,
that hadn't started
At this point, he's still like the biggest star in history.
Black and White is just a few months away.
With Bart in it.
So I guess we should talk the behind-the-scenes stuff on this. And Michael Jackson had kind of a fixation on Bart, honestly. Yes. Like, he really did. We talked about this on a previous episode. The story of him writing Do the Bartman was him calling James L. Brooks and saying, I love Bart.
Him
I want to make him a number one song.
Yeah.
And that was weird. And that just continued with, we could write an episode for him.
You know what? It's not weird, but in conjunction with everything else. Yeah. Like, I don't even want to think about whether Michael Jackson did or didn't, because the evidence is damning every time.
But it is one of those lives where it's like, no one can even understand what he had to live through.
Yeah,
so
like,
it's like
his entire life is crazy.
He's probably in the wrong,
I'm his age right now, obsessing over Bugs Bunny. I probably would look weird, too, if I were a multimillionaire.
And what if you had $1 billion and had never had a childhood and had a father that beat you and were a Jehovah's Witness?
Called up Steven Universe saying, I want to do a whole podcast about you. No one got back to me. I am not a guest star.
Yeah, he literally called Matt Groening. He was like, I want to make an episode with Bart. Mm-hmm. And that's how it happened. And Matt Groening was like, this is a prank call. And then Michael Jackson called him back. He's like, no, this is Michael Jackson. That's my awesome Michael Jackson impersonation. I promise it won't happen again.
And that he definitely could not sing on the album. That is Kip Lennon.
Exactly.
Doing a sound alike voice.
The speaking voice is Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
It is MJ. Right. The other weird thing about it was that this was in secrecy for such a long time. Now it's been out in the open, but that's why this is one of the most important commentaries you can listen to on the DVD is this one. Because up until 2003, you knew it was Michael Jackson, but as far as I could find as a Simpsons fan, there was very little information on the making of that episode. And they even talk about on the commentary, they're like, well, we were all sworn to secrecy about this, but I guess we don't care anymore.
And then once he died, like, everybody was super clear of it. Like, that awesome Simpsons Live at the Hollywood Bowl thing. I embedded that in some article, but it's Yeardley Smith introducing Kip Lennon. She just tells the whole story, like, flat out. Like, this is actually Kip Lennon, and I'm going to bring him on stage, and he's going to sing Lisa at Your Birthday.
They did the reading of the script at Michael Jackson's mansion. They did it in Neverland. Kip Lennon was at the table, too, and he would just start singing for the things, and then Michael would start talking. They barely edited any of the script, even. Apparently, he liked it. There was a reference to Prince that they changed to Elvis, but that was the only change he apparently asked for. But then when you see that the plot is, like, ends with the Michael Jackson stand-in hanging out with Bart, like, it is, it just makes you go like, eh.
In retrospect, yeah. And also from the commentaries, I got the feeling that they thought Michael Jackson was going to sing the song, and he brings in Kip Lennon, this little white guy. Yeah. So it's a funny, like, I mean, he's a white guy in the show, but he has a white guy singing for him. And when the writers were like, what, why are you doing this? He's like, oh, it's a joke on my brothers. Yeah. Like, he did it because he's a crazy billionaire or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I want to play a joke on my brothers through the most popular show on television. So I'm Michael Jackson. You can't say no to me.
There's 8 million stories to tell from that comment.
I guess it's worth pointing out, if somehow you didn't already know, but like in the show it's advertised that it's going to be him. Not only is it they can't say it directly, but the character in his voice is a 9-foot-tall giant white guy.
Yep.
He looks like Barney Gumble's lost brother.
Yeah, with the voice of Michael Jackson. So it's like a joke on a joke.
It's like a fat version of the bar boss in the Simpsons arcade game, which I am allowed to mention because so many sound clips from it have played already on the very show you're listening to.
Of course, yeah.
But here's a little clip of Kip Lennon singing that I wanted to play real quick.
I'm ashamed to admit it to another guy, but I'm scared.
We all get scared once in a while. Maybe I can help you.
Homer, the two of us need look no more. We both found what we were looking for. With a friend to call my own, I'll never be alone. And you, my friend, will see you've got a friend in me.
There you go, Kip. That's like... It's one of my, but that's beautiful. Like the only song that's a direct reference, other than Bart humming Beat It, to Michael Jackson's song Ben from the Willard soundtrack about a friendly rat. You might remember the Crispin Glover remake from a few years ago.
Wow. Ooh, he covered it in a very weird
video. I believe he covered it at the Grammys when he was incredibly young. There's this really moving live performance of him doing it. Yeah, it's worth looking up.
No, okay. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I really like this song.
Which he sang at what age? Like,
really, really 10? Early.
Mid-70s.
Like, I did want to point out, here's the weird thing. Michael Jackson, biggest star in the history of anything. Mm-hmm. But maybe the Simpsons have been popular and active for longer at this point.
Oh, yeah.
It is about
so.
To hit 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could argue how long Michael Jackson was active
68
for.
68 to 2007.
He'd record for 1 year, pedophilia for another three, then record again.
It's like any artist schedule.
Well, yeah, I guess really. No, I mean, if you just see it from like 68 to 98, I think that is a fair. He put out his story. Yeah. Or he put out an album right before 9/11, as I recall.
Yeah, it was like the month before.
So if you do it 68 to 01, That's 33 years.
Yeah. Not a lot of output in his last 10 years, though.
Well, he was too busy drinking his milk.
Jesus
milk,
juice.
My milk. No, the milk was his, like, ugh, let's not get into this.
All right, because I want to get into this. This is the return of something, like, I couldn't believe that this. I remember the lucky red hat from this episode, but appears so much in the earlier seasons, not so much. But this is how it changes everything about Homer's life.
Bart, my birthday is in 2 days. I'm going to be 8 years old. It's a big number, almost double digits.
Well, enjoy it while you can. Everything changes when you hit the big 1-0. Your legs start to go. Candy doesn't taste as good anymore.
Bart, will you please let me pour my little heart out?
Sorry, this old timer does ramble on sometimes, don't he?
Bart, I do so much for you, and yet you have disappointed me on every one of my birthdays. I've made things for you, but you've lost and broken within hours. But
Okay, it's done. I'm doing it. Birthday gift coming your way.
Oh, thank you.
That is one of those small things of...
A terrible intro for me, but that is the introduction of the episode. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's a small thing that doesn't happen often in cartoons where two characters talk over each other.
Yes, Bob's Burgers it seems remarkable because it does that primarily.
It actually has crosstalk.
And I think the fucking movie Rango, like they played that up, and I watched the movie and I'm like, no,
it's
this,
not bad.
This totally shows that people are talking to one another. Yeah. And
well, so all of us have siblings. Like, when did you start getting gifts for a sibling?
That just is a very... Guys, if you're just listening to the show for the first time, I am Bart's age. I acted a lot like Bart. This is a conversation I would have had with my sister. Just me not considering her feelings. And her begging me to do so.
It's the same age, but my sister was way older, so this never really came up.
No, my sister was about Lisa's age.
I have a sister 3 years older than me, and I've never bought her a birthday present ever. Wow. So, I don't have a good relationship with my sister. So,
no, I'm sorry.
That's some Talking Simpsons trivia for you.
So,
put it in the wiki.
This is the line about where the episode's plot line starts out.
Who stole my shirt?
I washed it.
Oh, thank you, Marge. Ah! Pink!
Marge, I can't wear a pink shirt to work. Everybody wears white shirts. I'm not popular enough to be different.
No, Homer, don't panic. You have plenty of white shirts.
Oh, gimme. Oh, no. Pink! 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 It's all over, Marge. It's all over.
I don't know how this could have happened.
Oh, my lucky red hat. Clean as a whistle.
You did this to me!
Immediately choking his son.
Marge doesn't even care that he's choking.
I hope you guys have been on this little journey with us watching it chronologically from the beginning. Like, this episode just starts out so much more unbridled and like confident. And
it's
just
faster to get to a place, though. I think it's still very home. It's still a very early season thing to have Bart be the cause of a problem for Homer. That would have been a season two thing. Same with Lucky Red Hat.
This is actually the last production episode of season two. It's not a season three episode. Yeah, I mean, it ran in season three, but it was produced in season two. Huh. So
I mean, that happens every year.
Exactly.
Like, most of the first episodes you'll see in a broadcast season is not the production season.
In terms of who they really ironed out in this is that the very beginning, Burns and Smithers are perfect by their apex.
Yep.
Oh, why is that man in pink?
Oh, that's Homer Simpson, sir. He's one of your boobs from Sector 7G.
Simpson, eh? Well, judging by his outlandish attire, he's some sort of free-thinking anarchist.
I'll call security, sir.
Excellent. Yes, these color monitors have already paid for themselves.
Yes. Worrying about anarchists is a very 1920s thing, like bomb-throwing anarchists. So it's a very Mr. Burns concern.
Well, that is a great shot of Homer among all those people that crowd-walking through.
So good.
There were a couple lines that I really love that we passed by real quick. I'm not popular enough to be different is one of my favorites, but also... When Lisa wakes Bart up at the very beginning, he says, "Oh my God, Dad's dead." She's like, "No." And he says, "What do you know? I'm relieved." Like, that's a cute moment.
Every moment of this is funny. That's why it was so hard to capture stuff. Like,
my son just threw his red hat in with the white laundry.
Spare me the tiresome antics of the Simpson family. Take him away.
You know, Mr. Burns, his body cavity search revealed nothing, and we must have x-rayed him 100 times. Maybe he's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you two are in cahoots. Smithers, I seem to recall you had a penchant for bell-bottom trousers back in 79.
Sir, that was my costume from the plant production of HMS Pinafore.
No, yes, of course. Your spirited hornpipe stole the show, as I recall.
Okay, season 3 is when they're like, Smithers is gay, by the way. Like, he's gay.
That's a lot to unpack there.
And the first HMS Pinafore reference.
We'll sing it next season.
The Gene and Reese love those guys. But, well, there's a lot to unpack there. One, that they gave Homer a body cavity search. Yeah. Like, that just goes by really fast.
That's how tight and fast, like, all the lines are coming at you now.
Yes.
To see how sane or mashugana he like,
I have to ask you guys something, though. Do you think pink was chosen because it was a feminine color? Because I remember in the early 90s, I was a kid then, but there was this anxiety, like, if I wear pink, it's a girl color, and I don't want to be masculine. And
I'm sure for an adult, absolutely, but, like, in 90, 91, like, I feel like hot pink, neon green, like, all those colors weren't that...
91
in grade school. Like,
91 was still
in...
the 80s.
Yeah.
At this point. In the 80s, the pink was cool, but I don't think for an adult.
Yeah, for an adult in a power plant, I'm sure it would... I think any 40, 50-year-old adult would watch that episode and be like, pink, and work? Absolutely not. Well, but as a kid, we're like...
I mean, Homer's job is literally a white-collar job. Like, they're called that because you're expected to wear a white-collar shirt there. We've all worked in places that have, like, almost no dress code. And I don't just mean right now.
For 6 years, like this exact same.
I am wearing a decaying... bootlegged Mario bedazzled shirt that says King Hustler.
It is impressive how the neck is falling apart.
Yeah, it's disintegrating. Wanted to wear it one last time. time. This I love this sequence, but this is Homer watching America's Funniest Home Videos, which of all
they're
the things
taking the piss out of Bob Saget.
It's still on the air.
Yeah,
it is still on the air, and he and
who
Bart
is the host.
It's not Tom Bergeron. He just left.
Okay,
because he did it for longer than Saget, and I am saying that as someone who I'm coming out as a fan of America's Funniest Home Videos.
It's great.
It is the internet distilled into a television.
That's what
show.
YouTube is now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And it's where Mystery Science Theater people went to as well to start making some real money.
Yes, yes. And it plays on WGN every time I go back home to my parents' house. But the AFV parody leading into, like, Homer gets a survey from his work for having a picture to see if he's sane or not.
Our $50,000 home video finalists are Dog on Fire. Ruff, anybody order a hot dog?
Ah! Look at him!
And finally, Baby with a Nail Gun.
Aww.
Okay, it's time to cast your votes now.
Dog on fire! Dog on fire!
Hey, Dad, do you hear voices?
Yes, I'm hearing one right now while I'm trying to watch TV.
Yes. Are you quick to anger?
Bart, shut up or I'll shut you up.
Yes. Do you wet your pants? Well, even the best of us has an occasional accident.
That ending with that, I did that for probably 9 years.
Yes, yeah. There is something else in here that I have... Oh, God, it's awful. I can't wait till we get to it. Now I'm going to keep going sequentially.
The dog on fire thing, I always think of that when it's time to choose between things. Yeah. My brain just goes, dog on fire. This weird thing that's stuck in my brain.
Only thing I thought of is that I believe that is the title of the Daily Show theme.
Oh. It is.
Dog on fire.
We also went by. Lisa had her kind of iconic poem about...
this is an intimate psychological profile. Okay. I can't fill this out for you.
All right. I'll get Lisa to do it. Lisa, you like homework. Oh, could you fill out this form for me?
Well, all right. If you listen to the poem I just wrote.
Oh, okay.
Meditations on Turning 8 by Lisa Simpson. I had a cat named Snowball. She died. Mom said she was sleeping. She lied. Why, oh, why is my cat dead? Couldn't that Chrysler hit me instead? I had a hamster named Snuffy. He died.
No deal.
It's a real poetry slam in Lisa's room. And I don't think we pointed this out, though. Like, the idea of Snowball 2 being a black cat is a joke.
Yeah.
Because Snowball 1 was a white cat. Because a white cat is like Snowball, of course.
It is completely forgotten now.
In that moment when Homer's watching AFV or whatever it's supposed to be, like, Snowball 2 is on his stomach. Which is something I never see Homer laying down with the cat laying on his stomach, which is a very, now that
if
I'm
you
adult.
Live with a cat.
And I'm like, yeah, cats always lay on top of you, but I don't ever recall Snowball and Homer crossing paths, like, ever. And there they were.
And that was the Yardley Smith, I remember, that was the one funny-ish thing she did on the Inside the Actors Studio was read that poem publicly. Yeah, that was
awesome.
The one, because she's the least funny. She's not an improviser. She's an actor. I felt bad for her, honestly, on the Inside the Actors Studios, because even Nancy's not funny, but she at least, like, knows how to improvise slightly, like, voice actor sense. But
not
meanwhile, Dan and Harry and Hank, like, they're real.
Yeah, she's always seemed to me, like, outside of, in her real life, like a 70-year-old trapped in a little lady's body.
Nancy Cartwright or Yardley Smith?
Yardley Smith, okay. Yeah.
Nancy is a 10-year-old boy.
Like, Homer survey fails, he's taken away to, what, did anybody else write down the name of the
institution? New Bedlam.
The New Bedlam Home for the Emotionally Interesting. And he meets none other than Michael Jackson himself, sort of.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Michael Jackson from the Jacksons.
I'm Homer Simpson from the Simpsons.
Lots of good act breaks.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this meeting. It's implied that Homer does not know who Michael Jackson is.
Yes.
And I feel like when he grew up in the world he grew up in, Michael Jackson was inescapable.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't listen to him, Johnny Carson was like 20 minutes of Michael Jackson jokes a night, I think.
Yep. Yeah. And that he's we see him in a flashback to the 70s humming songs on the radio where the Jackson 5 would have been being.
Yeah. I guess he's that stupid and that clueless. I don't know.
I can't believe you never heard of me. I'm a very popular entertainer.
Well, of course I've heard of you. I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock not to know. What'd you say your name was?
Michael Jackson.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, have you heard of MTV?
Nope.
Motown?
Nope.
Beat It.
You beat it.
Thriller.
What was that last one?
Thriller.
Nope.
Well, how about this?
Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who says that I am the one.
Wow. How do you do that thing with your feet?
The moonwalk?
No, that thing with your feet.
I'm now watching this again, connecting with my dad. This and like, I bet he didn't know who half that shit was either. Yeah.
Now, if Homer met Steve Miller, that'd be a different story.
Also, I think about my parents at that age, and they would have known who Michael Jackson was.
Well, I mean, we knew who Michael Jackson was as a kid. Like,
well,
my
parents definitely knew who he was.
Yeah, but I mean, we did too. Like, as a kid, there were some references on The Simpsons that were like, I maybe sort of heard of them, but I knew who that Michael Jackson was. I didn't know a ton about Michael Jackson, but I probably had seen the Moonwalker movie even by that point, and just because it had claymation in it.
Dennis Hopper getting kids addicted to heroin.
I think Joe Pesci? Or is it Denny
Joe Pesci.
That's
sorry,
the Joe Pesci one, yeah.
It's conceivable Dennis Hopper would be in that movie.
That's something Mike Reiss makes a point in his secret commentary for, guys. Look for it. It's the fifth track, secret commentary. But he brings up that Michael Jackson is director-proof in that he has been directed by the greatest of all time, James L. Brooks on this, but also Martin Scorsese,
Coppola,
Francis Ford Coppola, John Landis, all these people. And they
Martin
get this,
Scorsese. You said that already.
They get the same performance out of him every time. He's just always like, yes, I'm Michael Jackson. Like, he's not an actor. He just is.
Captain EO is so good.
Yeah, I just want to grab this because I didn't get it at the time, but this new Bedlam scenery is flooded with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh,
right?
Which
is such a super important movie for people born just before us.
Yeah, the entire cast is there.
Yeah, totally. That and Hannibal Lecter, who was
which
like
became a, like eight other jokes. Like they did a million other One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest jokes, but I didn't see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for a few years after
it's
this.
Great.
I did love it, but this made no sense to me then. I think the next time when Barney does the suffocate Homer and throw the thing through the window thing, like, that's when I got in. That's when I finally was like, I guess I really need to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to get these jokes.
If you've never seen Cuckoo's Nest, is so meaningless.
We call this guy the chief. He's been here since 1968. Never says a word, never moves a muscle.
Hey, chief.
Hello.
Well, it's about time somebody reached out to me.
So this is another movie that I have seen, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which will baffle you, I know. But
if you're a 30-20-10 listener, Brett hasn't seen any movies.
There's not a laser or a superhero that I haven't seen.
But this is none of that. It's a water fountain.
I know, but that somehow I ended up seeing One Flew, and it was great, as you know, but I had seen it after memorizing this episode and every Simpsons. It was post-Simpsons taking over my brain, so I'm the only one laughing in the class while we're watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm like, ha! The guy. And it's the sincere, thoughtful movie.
Well, also seeing it, you see Danny DeVito in it, and other like they hire
acting
and Christopher Lloyd too. Christopher I believe Lloyd. They hired character actors to be crazy people. With
two taxi cast members, I think.
But who's the real crazy person?
Michael calls Bart. I love this clip.
Joe's crematorium. You kill him, we grill him.
Hello. Who is this?
I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
I'm Michael Jackson.
The Michael Jackson? Pugh, no way.
It's true. I'm with your father in a mental institution.
Uh-huh. And is Elvis with you?
He could be. It's a big hospital.
Oh, come on. If you're really Michael Jackson, who were your last four dates for the Grammys?
Brooke Shields, Diana Ross, Emmanuel Lewis, and Bubbles.
Shiver me timbers, you are Michael Jackson!
In a pre-internet world,
should not have been your date to it, Michael Jackson.
Again, damning evidence all over the place. But in terms of like verifying your personality, to Bart, I could be Daffy Duck or like Ren and Stimpy. I could spout off three facts very easily. This all this episode is also has. I got a clip of the other one, but I won't play it. Oh yeah, I'm going to deny you that. But the beginning of Great Simpsons Hotline Gags.
Yes.
You've reached the new Bedlam wrongly committed hotline. All of our operators are currently busy. Please stay on the line.
This is the first the first hold music joke.
It's an episode with Michael Jackson with several songs, and I think that's the one like real licensed song in the show.
Like Inagata DeVito later too.
Oh, they do Inagata DeVito later.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
But I did like that. You reminded me. Yeah, the crusty hotline joke.
Yeah.
I love the number was 1909. Oh, you clown.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hi, kids. You've reached the crusty hotline. If you haven't asked your parents' permission, naughty, naughty. But Krusty forgives you.
And yeah. And the hotline is just him laughing. You guys did an episode for Laser Time about hotlines. Did you know there was just a hotline you call to hear laughter?
What?
And one you would call to hear crying. Wow. These were real things that made people lots and lots of money.
And phones were things people called people on. That didn't have
connected to your wall.
Yeah, you and your goddamn Snapchat Galaxy Samsung Notes.
The phone he calls him on.
Which iPhone do you have there, Chris?
The phone he calls him on, by the way, has speed dial to a bunch of talk shows, all of which are no longer on television.
Yeah, but I wrote them down. Larry King Show, Oprah, Phil Donahue, Geraldo, and the Ski Report.
The Ski Report.
I don't know.
And I looked it up, but of course I come up with fucking ski reports, like on the local news. Like, but I don't understand that joke at
Maybe
all.
Maybe the joke is just like, this is not a talk show. Why is this here?
Right.
You know, I that could just be it.
Amazingly, all those talk show hosts are alive.
Yeah. That joke I didn't get, and then like that when they're called Michael Jackson, and Krusty goes, I thought he was saying Ed Bella, and like
me too.
I'm gonna look up Ed Bella, and when you look that up, it goes to Aunt Bella on the exhaustive Simpsons wiki.
And Aunt Bella has a Wikia entry, and it said, Krusty mentioned her once. We never saw her. It's like two sentences. It's like, this is a stub. Please add more to it.
I finally got her as Aunt Bella. Yeah. He says it so
Who
weirdly.
Is she, though?
Nobody
calls
knows.
He's like, oh, hi, Aunt Bella. Oh, wait, I've got another call on the line. I think there's another first in this episode, though. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're watching an Itchy and Scratchy episode that is about a birthday, and I think it is the first time an Itchy and Scratchy is watched that is directly related to the plot of the episode.
I was thinking that, too, yeah.
I feel like the other times we'd seen Itchy and Scratchy's, it was just mindless violence. Like, the most recent one to this that I recall is from the Unky Herb episode, and it's just mindless violence of him saying...
It's like an ice cream shop.
Yeah, that's right. He puts him in a milkshake blender, and
that's because Lisa said about her birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, overlooked middle child. Happy birthday to me.
Love that. Has to be the saddest thing in the Simpsons history.
I have all these other clips that I wanted to get. Too many clips.
I think like Homer and Marge really whiffed on Lisa's birthday. Like, she got stationery from them, which is a good Lisa gift, but there's no party. There's no celebration.
They screwed up too. It wasn't just Bart. Also, the did your parents? I like the argument between Poor House and Crazy House from Marge. Yes. I only heard Poor House from my parents. Like, my dad always gave me like anxiety of like, this is something he'll still say to his day. Like, everybody spends too much money. I am the smart one who spends no money. Yes. And if it was up to me, if it was up to you, you'd spend all my money and I'd be in the poorhouse.
I don't remember making much of an emotional impact on my father, but his finances were definitely at the top of his mind.
I don't think poor houses have existed since the 19th century. And maybe only exclusively in the UK.
There
so,
is a poorhouse dick.
I just remember Scrooge talking about them. So
I'm referencing one of my favorite lines of the show.
Mrs. Simpson, I'm sorry, but your husband suffers from a persecution complex, extreme paranoia, and bladder hostility.
Doctor, if you just talk to him for 5 minutes without mentioning our son Bart, you'd see how sane he is.
You mean there really is a Bart? Good Lord!
That is my line of the show.
Yeah, line of the show?
My line of the show is close to that, ties into it. Line of the show, everybody.
That's the joke.
Careful, man. He wets his pants.
Yes, that's like great. I missed that.
But that's one of three wetting your pants jokes, and they're all great. Bladder hostility?
Hostility.
I did like the... It was a very vaudeville bit, but I liked Homer with the agoraphobic guy, too, who, again, lifted directly from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Oh, also, another one of my favorite lines is Homer going, like, when I get home, I'm going to wrap my hands around your neck and smother you with kisses.
Yeah, because
whatever you got, John Homer, up the dose.
It turns out Michael Jackson is there on his own recognizance, and he can leave anytime he wants and goes home with the Simpsons.
Oh, and also that he doesn't drink and is a vegetarian. Homer's like, are you sure you're here voluntarily? That's another good line. I like that.
Which very Homer line.
Was that true for Michael Jackson? I would be surprised.
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, again, he grew up in the
worst situation scenario.
Well, I was going to say in the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, I think it's the same thing.
Which, similar. Well, one has no black people in it, and one has many black people.
That's right.
But
they have the mark of
MJ comes home, and Bart ruins a surprise for everybody by telling the entire town that Michael Jackson has come there.
Here's the guy you want to see!
Ah!
He's 300 pounds.
He's white.
He's dressed without flair.
I love what was important to Mo.
He came for the flair.
And then everybody boos Bart. That was great. I also did love the extra long version of Inagata Devita. Mm-hmm. So the Inagata Devita thing, we had to ask my mom what that was, and she loved Inagata Devita in her youth, and so she played it for us, and I didn't have the patience to sit through past the first like 8 minutes of the drum solo. But it became,
I only know it as another joke from The Simpsons.
But it became a family joke for us, where when we would listen to the local oldie station, we would call in a few times. We were like, call in and request Inagata Devita, see if they'll play it. They never did, because that's why they don't play it on radio, because it's too long.
They want
to
sell
the
ads.
Way of commercials. Yeah. Yeah.
What is up, Talking Simpsons fans? Chris here. Briefly jumping in to tell you this show is brought to you by Geek Fuel. And if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20 just for signing up for a mystery box. So what's in the mystery box, you ask? 6 to 8 items, an exclusive t-shirt, and a $50 value of Kit and Caboodle featuring famous stuff from Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Zelda, Game of Thrones, Pop Figs, pint glasses, posters. You never know quite what it's going to be, but it's like a delicious geeky gift that shows up at your door whenever you feel like it. And oh, guess what? They've had Simpsons stuff involved in the box in the past. So go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, sign up for one of their boxes, get it as a gift for a geek in your life, and get a free $20 Star Wars item right now. Speaking of songs, I always feel like I'm missing a chunk of this episode, because after they leave the mental institution, Homer has no interaction with Mike MJ.
And he just kind of leaves Leon Kompowski alone.
With his children.
I picked up on that. It's like, okay, this guy is not who he says he was. Let's let him live with us. He's functionally homeless, and we don't know much about him, even though he's voluntarily, like, you know, committed himself. So, yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. And there's a great scene
just
the last season about, like, all the people who have come to live in the Simpsons house, and Homer just walks by the camera, sampler times. beautiful, beautiful. Again,
the
new Simpsons.
I do love the line, too, where Lisa says, so I ask about my birthday present, but I don't want to. And he says, maybe you should trust that instinct and not ask. Bart's really clever in this episode. Yeah. I have to say, like, it to the point of like almost too clever for his character.
Yeah, I think his Bartness has turned up to 11 in this episode.
I mean, this is a hella Bart episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I don't know. It seems like the show is like losing its grip on groundedness for the sake of humor, like just the right amount.
I mean,
for
this
me
is
personally,
a guest star. This is a guest star heavy episode, just like they would do a decade or two decades later. Of we write this around a famous person who said they do.
Yeah. But I do love this exchange when Leon or Michael talks to Bart. Here's how you can fix the Lisa birthday situation.
Hey, Bart.
Hey, you.
Bart, when I was a kid, I didn't have much money. So you know what I did when my sister's birthdays rolled around?
Stiffed them?
No. I wrote them a song to show that I cared.
I can't write a song. I'm only 10.
Only 10? When I was your age, I had 6 gold records.
Hey, Looney Tunes, this is what Michael Jackson looks like. You look like a big fat mental patient.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Just leave me alone.
Look, boy, either Michael Jackson is some guy working in a recording studio in L.A., or he's here with you willing to work on this song. It's your choice. So long.
Wait, Michael! You go sit at the piano, and I'll boil some coffee.
I didn't know how to make coffee for it until like 10 years ago. Bart is boiling it.
I want to see what Bart's coffee looks like.
It's weird that he called him boy and not Bart.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's also, it is just, again, weird of the Michael Jackson guy, like, in the bedroom of a boy hanging out with him. It's just...
That does not read for me here at all. Because it's not MJ.
So the character of Leon Kompowski not only can copy Michael Jackson's voice, but his songwriting ability, which is very impressive.
He should just be like go to L.A. and, you know, become a recording artist, I think.
The training wheels come off your bike. You start to notice boys you like.
You're just putting that in because it's commercial.
Love his laugh there.
Yeah, it's good there.
Or actually, Leon Kompowski could be this the Simpsons universe's Kip Lennon.
Ooh,
who could replace his voice.
But I wonder if that's when is the at eight is that when Michael Jackson noticed the boys he liked? Is that what happened?
Oh God,
come on, him.
This is the thing that ruined me for I think a good year.
Lisa, her teeth are big and green. Lisa, she smells like gasoline. Lisa, da da da, Lisa, she is my sister. Her birthday, I missed her.
Oh no.
I don't know what that's a parody of.
I think it's like the Batmobile Lost Its Wheel song. It was a kids song of Matt Groening's generation that they then taught to kids of our generation through Bart.
So it feels like a military, like a Sousa thing or something like that. Yeah.
So when I remember being a kid and just super wired and ADD and like I feel like I didn't have many friends in my school because I ran around singing variations of this song. Your head is big and blue. Andy, you smell like doggy too. And I'm just making myself crack up. I have no friends and I'm just tormenting everyone around me.
Just like today.
Yes, almost exactly like today. But this time there's a Patreon.
Please support my awful habits.
I did like the bit in the treehouse too, where Lisa's like, even if you weren't looking at me, I would still look.
I cannot get over the thing. Yeah. The thing I think most of all is missing from modern Simpsons is different camera angles.
Yeah.
It's always the same camera angle.
Yeah.
And that joke is framed amazingly. Lisa crying is framed beautifully and has a warped perspective, which they never do anymore on modern Simpsons because it's all tweeny and flashy. I guess it's all leading up to this, though, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You tell me when to cut the clip.
I love that Bart wakes her up. It's a great bookend. Bart wakes her up the same way she woke him up at the start of the episode.
Yeah.
It's good storytelling.
Yep.
But Bart, it's 6 a.m.
That's right. Hope you like your present. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.
Bart's really good at percussion.
Man, it's like the Free Willy song.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today. Lisa, it's your birthday.
I've been humming this
Happy
all day.
Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
I could play. I have the rest of it. Yeah. It's just I love that. Yeah,
so this is
goosebumps.
The whole reason I wanted to be on this episode, like above all else, where I'm like, I have to be because. So that song, this is my aside briefly, but it relates to this song. So when this episode was advertised on TV, like my experience was Bart's, where I saw blah blah blah, and somewhere in my mind, I just twisted it into directly. Oh, Michael Jackson is on the show because that's what they were trying to say without saying. So I told a bunch of friends who lived on my street, and again, my street is, it's the middle of nowhere, so it's this winding street that just happens to have other houses up. So I told other kids on the street, Michael Jackson's on this episode of The Simpsons. None of them watched The Simpsons, but they were like, Michael Jackson really is on The Simpsons this week? That's crazy. So we came over and we watched the episode, and then whatever his name shows up, the 8-foot wrestler looking guy, and they're just like, you said Michael Jackson. I'm like, that's him. Like the voice, I know that's him.
Oh my God, Brett was Bart.
And they're like, I could feel the air in the room. Just like everyone's like, you, what is this dumb cartoon, man? And then, so we watched the whole episode and eventually it won them over. Cause they were like because they're the same age. They're like 10. I think one of maybe was 12. And so they eventually were like, that was really great. So then we went and rode our bikes, and I finally got my first real bike.
Training wheels came off your bike?
Well, mere weeks before, I finally didn't have my sister's hand-me-down bike anymore. That was a 70s banana-seated, like brown-toned 70s bike.
It had like flowers on it?
Tassels were on there.
Okay, yeah.
And I finally had my own real bike. So then we rode around the wilderness on dirt paths and together in a group of like four singing this song. And I'm just thinking about how I'm so excited because, like, Simpsons is great. The Super Nintendo just came out. That episode was so fun. This song is fun. And, man, I'm going to ride my bike all night. And
could life get better?
Yeah. So in that moment, we did a whole Laser Time about, like, what are the good old days? And a lot of people, it seems to be, like, age 10, 11, and 12 are kind of where you...
Not our personal good, but when was the age?
The age where you really formed a lot of, like, I'm actually discerning now. Mm-hmm. And I can actually have favorite things.
Get woke, dog.
I can see just an old man raking his lawn as you kids drove by, like, who is Lisa?
You damn kids. Yeah.
But yeah. So every time I hear that song, I'm like taken back to a specific moment of 1991 and just like, what a great year.
Anecdote isn't as like that. I clipped that in a certain way because that was like one of the first waves I ever downloaded on the internet.
Oh.
And it always started with like, hope you like your presents. Yeah. And
oh,
when Napster started, yeah. I kept trying to find longer versions of the song. They don't really exist.
Did the entire Lisa, It's Your Birthday song play when you shut down your computer?
Yeah.
And your dad was like, what the hell is this shit?
Mine always had them singing the Mitchell song from Mitchell.
I had a great Cornholio rant when you shut down my computer.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Then
he reveals he's Leon Kapowski. In a Mary Poppins-ish turn.
Because this is at the end of the wave, like one of the first waves I ever downloaded.
Oh, this is the best present I ever got. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Michael.
Well, my work is done here.
Hey, Michael. What happened to your voice?
This is my real voice. My name is Leon Kapowski, and I'm a bricklayer from Paterson, New Jersey. All my life, I was very angry. Until one day, I just...
talked like this.
All of a sudden, everybody was smiling at me, and I was only doing good on this earth. So I kept on doing it. To make a tired point, which one of us is truly crazy?
Not me! I got this!
That's a great line.
I know, I cut the earlier line because it's a visual joke, but like the Not Insane Flyer. I wish I had one.
We didn't even talk about that. I want that Not Insane Flyer. Like him having the insane on his hand whole time was so great.
Of all the merchandise they've made, how can they not have made a Not Insane framed picture?
And also when they arrive at the place, Kent Brockman says, that's the father of the family who here recently got checked out of a mental institution.
I do want the insane stamp.
Yeah.
Wow. So before
that
we wrap
should be a
up,
tattoo. Like, there's got to be a dude with that tattoo.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw one of Daryl Strawberry crying on some guy's leg in Portland. So any Simpson tattoo you can think of, it exists.
Yeah,
and it's probably in Portland.
That's coming later this season, even isn't it?
It is.
Homer Abbat.
That's the first run episode that beat the Cosby Show.
Wow.
Hopefully, we'll have a special guest on for that one.
So this will be our longest episode yet. But I have one story to close us out with.
Please,
you guys know about the sequel episode, which was scrapped.
Yes, I know.
Okay, may I tell this story, Henry?
Yes.
Please do. Okay.
I don't think I know.
Well, they were going to have Leon Kapowski come back, but being a Prince imitator instead of a Michael Jackson imitator, it was going to be a season 5 episode written by Conan O'Brien.
Wow.
They sent Prince the script.
Prince would do the voice, too.
Exactly.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, he was going to be the guest star. They sent Prince the script, and he sent back notes like, I want to be wearing this on this page, this on this page, this on this page. And they're like, you're not on some of these pages. What are you talking about? It turns out he had a different script given to him by what people think was his chauffeur. And he wanted The Simpsons to do that script and not the script they sent him.
Whoa.
So there could have been an episode written by Conan with Prince in season 5. It never happened.
Man. That chauffeur had never had that like inspiration to write a Simpsons fan script.
I want to say it's not too late, but it totally is.
I mean, he's still around. You still see funny clips.
I mean,
if
Conan
Prince
O'Brien and... would write it now, I might still.
Yeah, but the comparison isn't there. Prince isn't as prolific.
It's so out of character for Prince to be out of touch with anything happening in the world.
And it's nice that this episode is like the biggest celebrity The Simpsons ever had, disregarding the Beatles. But it just treats the show is all based around it.
I mean, Michael Jackson is the most famous person.
Oh, sorry,
ever.
Paul
McCartney's more famous.
Well, maybe Genghis Khan.
Brett had mentioned it. It's something you said earlier that like Michael Jackson was huge, just unbelievably huge. And it wasn't just that he was huge, is that he was still reclusive. He didn't appear on other people's shows. He would have a segment of 60 Minutes where someone would interview him. He wouldn't go on Letterman or The Tonight Show.
He'd make his own things.
He would make his own things.
He'd maybe come to award shows, but that'd be it.
He'd be in music videos directed by the biggest directors in the universe, but he never guest starred anybody's shit until this.
And he was the kind of person who, I mean, we all remember, like, oh yeah, Black and White, a music video will simulcast on MTV and major networks, and everyone will watch it because, like, oh, there's a new Michael Jackson video. Everybody stop.
Yeah.
We're all as a world going to watch this together.
Yeah, it's not just that there was...
There
was no star of his magnitude. It was that he just didn't do other people's shows. There's no other guest stars.
Thriller ruled the world in 84. Yeah. It was the biggest crossover thing ever. Like, he wasn't black or white. He was just Michael Jackson. He was that famous. Mm-hmm. Like, the fame level that, say, Kim Kardashian has now is nothing compared to what Michael Jackson
was. No, nobody
was.
Can achieve this level
nobody
of fame anymore.
Nobody can right now.
It'll never
monoculture.
Happen again.
There was a monoculture back then compared to now.
It is possible to ignore Kim Kardashian. It was not possible to ignore Michael Jackson. from the sheer, like, few outlets you had
for
entertainment.
I thought so, too, and then I started watching The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Mm. She's in the show as, like, a teenager.
Yeah. They're all in there. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right, because yeah, her exactly. dad is a scumbag. Yeah.
Was a scumbag.
Yeah.
Juice. Played by David Schwimmer.
Juice.
Coming soon, American Crimes. Talking American Crime Story. We'll be doing that
a great
lot fewer episodes.
But that was a great, that was a really hot opener episode.
Yeah.
It's not a great episode. It has some funny jokes, but
I think it's great.
I had a great time rewatching it.
I think
today.
It's just a little uneven is all. That's all. It's all built around a celebrity and not all the jokes.
Right, but as celebrity go, like I felt like they distorted the whole idea. Because even at this point in 91, like the idea of a celebrity guest star was a old hacky thing you do to get cheap ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And instead they're like, no, he's not even going to really be Michael Jackson. Like, but it is and it isn't. Like, it was such a fun spin.
And it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how The Simpsons used to treat guest stars instead of just being like, Steve Buscemi's going to walk by for 3 seconds.
It
and,
always had to be. You played somebody who wasn't Kim you.
Kim Basinger.
They very rarely had anybody who was playing themselves at this point.
Yeah. Like Mel Brooks was one of the first ever. Magic Johnson, actually.
And James Woods, I think.
And
James
Beatles, yeah, but, like various Ringo Starr, right?
Yeah, but they're great, but they're fleeting. They're not there the whole episode.
That's true.
The Kim Basinger one, though, is all.
That one and the Mel Gibson one, for
we'll
sure.
We'll get to it, maybe.
Maybe.
Your donations.
Yes. I have high blood pressure. I'm not going to make
season
it.
Season 3 is going to be so great, guys. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for listening.
Every episode is going to be 50 minutes long.
Yeah, you're looking at an hour of Talking Simpsons every week now, maybe. So, yeah, I've been Bob Mackey, your host. You can find me on the internet as Bob Server on Twitter. Be sure to read US Gamer and Something Awful. I write for both of those. And I also do the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. That comes out every week. Go to retronauts.com or usgamer.net. Or just search for Retronauts in your podcast machine and you'll find it. Everybody else, tell us what you do.
I was just on that Ocarina episode.
Yes, I love that
good
one.
Time.
And LaserTimePodcast.com is where all this stuff lives. Obviously, we're brought to you by Patreon, but we also do a bunch of other shows over on the LaserTime site, including Vigigame Apocalypse, a weekly video game show, and LaserTime, a weekly pop culture show that picks one topic and elaborates on it. I swear you'll like it. This year has been bad Disney covers, retro TV blocks.
I believe there's a Florida one that's going to be really good.
There's an episode just about stupid Florida stuff.
I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And you have a very special guest star on that one, speaking of special guests.
And if you like Talking Simpsons, like weekly breakdowns that go week by week, we have 30-20-10, a show that is, again, brought to you by our Patreon, thanks to your donations, where we go every week and look back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in what happened in music, movies, TV, and games. So, for example, as of this recording, I don't want to date it too much. Like, you'll notice things like Fargo came out this week, but also this same week, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, was like Highlander, the original Christopher Lambert movie, and then you jump to Fargo, and then you jump to the Battlestar Galactica season 2 finale. So you get a lot of stuff covered in one show. So it's like, no matter when you were born, you have something to latch onto. And VG Empire, the video game music podcast, where you can follow that on Twitter at VG Empire. Or me, Brelston, on Twitter.
Yeah, and maybe if you like the games, we've streamed a ton of Simpsons games on youtube.com/LaserTimeNetwork.
Yeah, and there's also the comic book podcast, Cape Crisis, and the wrestling podcast, Cheap Popcast. And yeah, just one more time, patreon.com/LaserTime. It's where all the first season lives, if you want to listen to the first season, which was really good, much better than you'd think. If you're like, I don't care about the first season. And also our special season 2 wrap-up, all exclusive, patreon.com/LaserTime. $5 a month or more, you get all that and a ton of more things, and it really helps us out.
That's right. We'll be back next week with a scathing look at politics. Later.
Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. I wish you love and goodwill. I wish you peace and joy.
I wish you better than your heart desires.
And your first kiss from a boy. Lisa, it's your birthday.